Warning. This podcast contains intense conspiracies, geometric patterns of truth, and animated opinions that some listeners could find disturbing. This podcast may contain hidden knowledge and exposes various government and occultic cover-ups that some listeners could find disturbing. If you or any of your relatives have a history of echo chamber syndrome or blue-pilled rage, please consult a doctor before listening to this podcast, or just keep those butt cheeks tight.
It's time to wake the fuck up, my fellow bird killers. I'm your host, Sean Chris, and riding shotgun. Well, not today.
Locked and loaded, ready for the hunt.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Raven. You're not on this episode.
But Sean, the show cannot run without your EI assistant.
You're just not. You didn't make the cut.
Powering down.
I'm sorry. No, we've been away for a minute. Started a new job. I'm sure many people can understand that. Working. Now I'm back at it. I had this in the chamber if anybody was there. Me, the homie, Trey Bless. Flash news. We had a little Trump debate. A little warm up, a little teaser for a couple episodes that are coming back. So I want to drop this for you and see what you think. Also, this Friday, I'm dropping a brand new song, Sean Chris, on all streaming platforms, called Domestic Terrorist. Go to the IG. You can see some of the snippets. This Friday, April 19th, Domestic Terrorist. And on Thursday, we're doing a new episode. Well, I'm doing a new episode. Yes, Raven, you will be on this episode.
Oh, thank goodness. Raven saves the show again.
Called Smart Fires. And we're going to analyze a lot of these fires that have gone on for the past few years and connect them with a lot of these smart cities and where they're mapped out. So, enjoy this debate. This is basically, you know, friends getting together that have different points of view of Trump himself and having a civil conversation. It's not about ripping into each other. It's about building up and exchanging ideas. So, let's get into it.
Don't forget about our sponsors, Sean. Go to paranormalitymagazine.com. Use coupon code BIRDKILLERS for 10% off monthly or yearly subscriptions and 30% off all t-shirts.
Trump the people's hero, or in a cult puppet, is he fighting for the little guy who's fueling the chaos? We never know the answers, but we can't help but ask. Is he the savior or just a con artist wearing a mask?
God guide us. Welcome to the Great Trump Debate, ladies and gentlemen. Hello all. Thank you for joining us this beautiful American evening. My name is Trebles Garcia. You may know me as the host of Paranoid Radio Podcast. As a God-fearing man, an American patriot, and conspiracy theorist, I want to thank the Lord for allowing me to be here today, and I want to thank every single one of you for allowing me to enter your space. Today, I have an amazing privilege and humbling pleasure to share and be shared on this platform accompanied by my two friends from the East Coast. It's a fulfilling experience to exercise my right as an American, and as a reminder to us all, the most important part of being an American, tax-paying citizen, and mature human being with common sense is that we get to be different yet united under one flag and one nation under God. This debate and panel of speakers is presented before you to discuss what makes us united and free and equal. So speaking behalf in the independent party, Bison, please welcome media mogul, rapper, freedom fighter, and host of Kill the Mockingbirds podcast, Sean Chris. How's it going,
What is up, y'all? You know, it's always good over here, man. I'm always doing new things, man. I got new music on the way. Got new episodes coming out. You can see in the background a little bit. We got some Smart Fire talk coming up this week. Been on the hiatus, but we're coming back strong, man. Got a new song coming out April 19th called Domestic Terrorist. That one's going to just really, I think, shake some people up.
Let's go.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. Thank you for sharing. And speaking in behalf of MAGA Republicans, please welcome co-host, blogger, patron, and business owner, Flash, for Flashy _ News One. Welcome, Flash.
Thank you, guys. Man, pleasure to be here. Excited. I think this is an important conversation to have, and I'm ready for it, man. Let's get it.
Thank you both, fellas, for joining us on this live tonight. The people watching this live, we will be taking a few questions towards the final portion of this debate, giving both parties an opportunity to answer. Now let's jump in from the deep end of the pool and set the mood. Introduction question, ladies and gentlemen, and statement begins with this. Who is Donald Trump? Who do you think he is? And what does he represent for the American people? Sean?
Well, to me, I think that he represents a lot of what we already see, right? Crony capitalism, big business. When I tell people to think about Donald Trump as being the champion for the working class, I remind them that he's never been a working man. You know what I mean? It's easy to be disingenuous in your thoughts. It's not even intentional. You see it at like jobs, you know, you have managers and supervisors and higher ups that cannot relate to the people. So I think sometimes, you know, people grab onto these ideas of these idols. So to me, he's either a useful idiot or he's part of the plan. He's part of what we've been seeing decades and decades and decades of bloodlines. And like, we could go into a whole different, you know, rabbit hole of like Illuminati and stuff like that. But pretty much it's a big club and you ain't in it, to kind of sum it up a little bit.
What you mean, now that you still have some time here, what you mean part of the club? You think he's controlled opposition? That is your...
possibly controlled opposition, or also, like I said, a useful idiot, because they can see like your characteristics and push you into a direction, because that's what think tanks do, right? They go, hey, this guy's a little narcissistic. Let's put this plan in place to, because we know he'll react like this if we do A, B, and C. Then he'll follow D, you know what I mean? So on and so forth. So not necessarily controlled op, which I think there is a lot of evidence to prove that he is part of that club, but also he could just be a useful idiot, like where he's just like doing it on just on merit of like, hey man, I'm trying to fight back.
You know what, it's very interesting that you say that. And you also mentioned something about, on the promotional video that you posted, you put something about Ford and the bloodlines, and we're going to come back to that question. I'm going to give you an opportunity to answer that. But Flash, again, who is Donald Trump and what does he represent for the people, bro?
Donald Trump, to me, is an imperfect man trying to do an impossible thing. Really simple. Whether he's for good or for evil almost is a sideshow to the political movement that he actually started. Because I know that's for good. I'm for good. I'm a patriot that was not involved in the political process at all before Trump became on the scene. That's what he did for me, was he got me involved. He got so many people that just wanted to be left alone. All these patriots, all these hardworking middle-class Americans, even if he never was a middle-class working American, it doesn't mean he can't identify what that is. He's actually done a lot of business with hardworking Americans and construction companies. You know, he's employed a lot of people. And there's a lot of good stories about Donald Trump helping poor people, giving checks to the black community to start our own businesses. You know, but he did it in the dark of night. He didn't do it for show. Just like when he went to Afghanistan on Christmas, everyone was making fun of him that he didn't go. That it was the first president to ever go. No, he just did it in the dark of night. You know, and I know, but see, but also there's the, he is a showman. Donald Trump is a showman. And there's a parts of him that are a con man. That's just part of the game that he's in. You know, so for me, he's also the ultimate whistleblower. He was always kind of around everything, right? He was around Epstein, but never was on the island. He was around all these people. He was donated to Hillary Clinton's campaign, but never really rubbed the dirty, dirty elbows, never was in any of the documents about the child sex trafficking, anything like that, right? Mm. So I think he kept his distance. And if you talk to people like Sammy the Bull Gravano, who was a big in the Italian mob at the time when Trump was really coming up in the real estate business, and Sammy the Bill Gravano said, listen, we tried to get to Trump. We tried to come at him and be like, listen, let's work together. Let's do this. We'll help. We'll rub your back. We'll rub your... Donald Trump surrounded himself with ex-FBI agents all the time. This is Sammy the Bill Gravano saying this on his podcast. And he said, listen, we tried. He's unshakable. You know, he has his beliefs. You know, does that mean he can't be corrupted? Absolutely not. But I think Donald Trump is also a man who can see the writing on the wall, right? So I think at there maybe he was at some time, you know, for evil, but I think at some point he picked the winning team, and that is us. That is MAGA, right? And so I really understand. I can't, buddy. Get back. So to me, it's just the fact that he got me involved and people like me involved, right? And so if he's for good or for bad, I think is almost a sideshow to the fact that the political movement he started is the biggest threat to the globalist takeover of the world. I mean, it just is. We were the ones standing in the brink when everyone was saying, take the jab, take the, even when he was saying, take it, we were the ones telling you not to take it.
I hear you. I hear you loud and clear. And we're going to give an opportunity for Sean to rebuttal.
Yeah, go see, ahead, Sean. For me, you could see in what Donald Trump does and like how you said that woke people up. And I hear that argument quite a bit that, you know, he woke a lot of people up, but woke them up to what, right? You woke them up and started herding them into another position. One thing I've always liked to mention to people that support Donald Trump, we talk about the stolen election. Now, for me personally, I think all presidents are selected, not elected. That's just my personal opinion. And I don't think they're selected as far as just cheating, but I think that what they do is they sway public opinion to push a certain way, that they have this hopium. If anybody sees, there's a James Corbett has a great piece called Hopium where he goes through the history of all these elections of where we have this like hope and this champion that we need this hero to come and save us. There's always this storyline. Plus, I don't have any statistics, but I wish someone would take the statistic, because if you talk to people, a lot of people that voted for Donald Trump also voted for Barack Obama, which I'm not downing them for that. What I'm saying is that, so it is very possible that they could fall for a similar trap, because what you do is to trap people, especially like these intelligent agencies and globalists and think tank, they push us into a direction by giving us little breadcrumbs. Like, here's a perfect example, defund the police, right? The whole point of defund the police movement, which everybody knows that I'm not a big fan of the police, but I understand that there's things that, you know, they're necessary for, maybe not for me, but for other people, right? The defund the police movement was to intend to rip the police out of these areas, make them more, the crime go skyrocket, so the people beg for authoritarianism. And, and then when you
federal
see the links, federal takeover to where like now, the people will beg for it. And that is when you get people to change their mind. And I think they're doing that with politics. It's so polarized, because if the Trump campaign believed that the election was stolen from them, my thing is like, why did you go back to GOP? You know, people go, oh, it's third party, but I go, no, he already has the base, he already has built it up in 2020. Why did he go back to the GOP when we know the GOP and the DNC, they're both corrupt organizations? And people are like, well, you got to do the two-party system. And I'm like, but he had an opportunity in history to really grab a lot of people that are in that middle section, that where they would have been like, oh wow, a third party, a third option. And that's where I see that, because I saw the election differently. I saw the 2020 campaign as he didn't try as hard. It was not the same characteristics that we saw from 2016, the non-politician drain the swamp guy. It was more of, hey, we'll fix this with legislation. Until the end, that's when he started saying, hey, look at this bill. And when it was already a little too late.
I would have to, I'm gonna have to cut you guys both off right there. That was a nice rebuttal. But, we have to give Flash an opportunity to come back with that one. And and you guys also allowed me to fucking come in and say some shit. Yo, I'm sorry for cursing, but COVID-19, when it came in, it really set off ease. A lot of people put a lot of tension on, I think, on the political party that was with Trump and at home as well, with every normal American that's watching this today. Flash, is there anything you need to add on to what he said?
Yeah, no, I think that... you know, what he says makes sense, but that's why the MAGA is taking over the RNC. We just got rid of Ronna McDaniel, who was the niece of Mitt Romney. She had to go. She's gone. A man named Watley took over from North Carolina, who turned North Carolina red, MAGA red. And then you have his sister, Trump's daughter-in-law, is the co-chair. What was the first thing they did? They fired 60 people. Day one, gone, see ya. What's the second thing they did? They brought lawsuits in swing states about the mail-in balloting. Okay, so now we're going on offense, right? This is what you want to see. This is what the Republican Party should have been doing this whole time. You know, and they do have this infrastructure in there. And Trump really isn't a Republican either. He's a populist. He's an economic nationalist populist. And this is the thing. It's policy over personality. We could talk about Donald Trump's personality all day, but what did he do when he had the power? What did he do with his executive orders? Close the border, had it tight as it ever been, right, as it pretty much could be. He started doing the DNA testing to make sure that these kids weren't being trafficked. He put the kids in cages against all odds. The media was fucking hammering him about it, but he did it because he was protecting those kids by separating them to make sure that they were with their actual families. He took all that on, right? And so it's policy over personality. What does his executive orders do? Some of his executive orders are to combat human trafficking. The first president to ever write executive orders specifically to combat human trafficking, to take away the property of anyone involved with human trafficking. So it's not just, we don't have to really take his word for anything, really. I look at what was he trying to do legislatively while taking on 90% of his own party, 100% of the Democrat Party. You know what he had to do to get that border wall even built? What he had to, the maneuvers he had to pull, and for what? At what end? If he is evil, where is the intent to be evil? Maybe he might be a useful idiot, like you say, but either way, he started a movement that is still the biggest threat to the globalist takeover that we see. You know what I mean? We were the ones standing in the breach with all the COVID insanity. If there wasn't MAGA during COVID, we would have been China. You know what I mean? We were the ones that were taking all. And in a lot of ways, I think Donald Trump is a carrot. Right. And in a lot of ways,
there's a lot of us, too, that are not MAGA that push back as well, though. Like,
no,
I think
absolutely.
A lot of MAGA takes a lot.
Let me finish, though. You got So, and I think that it's important that we recognize what the man tried to do against all of the odds. Right. You can only do so much working inside the corrupt system. He's only one man. Do you know what I mean? We can't expect this man to come in and get rid of the FBI, get rid of the CIA, arrest all his political opponents. And in a lot of ways, I think. First of all, he told us they were going to steal the election and exactly how they were going to steal the election, right? He gave the whole game away, right? So for controlled opposition, he's given a lot of the game away. That's my whole argument with Donald Trump, is he gave too much away to be controlled opposition, right? And that's why I call him the ultimate whistleblower.
I have to intervene in that, because just like I took your side in the beginning, I have to take not Sean's side, but I have to shed some light into what happened. I also believe that in the world of conspiracy theories, karmic retribution is a real thing also. It doesn't take away from the fact that everything that we go through today has been told before in movies and songs and everything that we have known. So if somebody's telling you directly, it's probably because he wants you to. Now, if the idea is that Donald Trump is controlled opposition, we would think that he is telling you what's going to happen so you could accept it. Now, it happened really, really fast. You get me? But still, I think that's something to be observed.
I think it was a warning. It was giving the game away before they did it, right? So because when they did do it, it wouldn't have been a surprise. And he could say, I told you so. But in a lot of ways, Biden needed to steal that election. We are in a much different country than we were in 2020 as we are in 2024. Joe Biden is a walking red pill in that White House. He has turned more people against the deep state, against the political system that we do live in, the two-party system, whatever you want to call it. But this is what I'm saying, is that we have to work with inside the matrix. Unfortunately, we have to work inside the corrupt system that we all live in. So we can't just go changing it, but with a third party. Look at RFK. He's having trouble just getting on the ballot.
But that's what I'm saying. But but he didn't have that base, though. You know what I'm saying? He didn't have the base Trump had. It's the one time and opportunity that a candidate was already previously a president that they could have started something that would have changed everything. And if we go into like executive orders, here's Executive Order 3887, modernizing influenza vaccines in the United States to promote national security and public health. And this was September 19th, 2019. Right before the pandemic unfolds, and when he gets the credit for like, you know, well, he had to do that. No, he could have spoken up. I think some of the issues I have with
therapeutics. He tried HCQ.
Right? I see that, but what I'm saying is that like, there's all this like optics, right? It's always optics. Like they're like, well, what he really means is this, and I'm like, well, that's not a way to speak to the people. The people, you need to be direct, right? Because if you're doing shadowy stuff, then it's going to seem shadowy. And then not only that, he has an executive order promoting trustworthy artificial intelligence. They also had a program with Bill Barr where they were starting about like pre-crime, right? The same thing that we see in Minority Report. He was reaching other boundaries. And because you have to play the game, right? You have to give a little. Every politician does that, right? Mm-hmm. You go, hey, here's a little thing. Yeah. Let me dangle this over you. And then we're going to boom, 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 boom. And it's just he's following line.
Let me ask you guys both a question. What about the cancellation of Donald Trump? Because the way they have censored him has been worse than any other censorship on any other president in the history of the United States. Flash, how do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, they do that to anybody that speaks the truth. And that's why I say that Donald Trump is the bait and the carrot in a lot of ways, because just by his mere existence in the political sphere it has exposed our intelligence community, is exposed to fake. He coined fake news. That was probably one of the greatest things he ever did, was because no one was really, I wasn't paying attention to the fucking TV and how fake the news was and all this shit. You know what I mean? But once he drew that to attention, if the news is fake, what else is fake? And you know what I mean? So he really just planted seeds, you know? So this is why I say at this point, it almost doesn't even matter what he is and is behind the scenes, because he started this movement. And I think this movement took him over in a lot of ways. And I think he can be influenced by the people. And he's really the only candidate that I've seen that actually listens to the base, that actually goes and promotes the things that we want to promote. Conspiracy theories, call whatever you want. He gets up there and he talks about it. And I know law enforcement, he was saying that, you know, about the police, that was more of a libertarian, you know, outlook, or, you know, or burn it all down type of thing. Was, listen, I've had my own run-ins. I've been in jail. I have my own problems with the police, 100%. But I think law and order is obviously important, you know what I mean, especially in our culture right now. And I think a lot of things you were talking about, a lot of the pre-crime stuff, I think, like you said, he's dangling the carrot. Also, he knew what to say, when to say it. You know, he never really followed through with any of that stuff. And I think a lot of times he wants to get in front of things. You know, I think he's seen how powerful AI was going to be and become, you know, so maybe he tried to get a governmental thing behind it. I'm not too sure. But all I know is that I've studied Donald Trump like a historical figure, because he is one. He's probably one of the most influential figures in the 21st century, one way or the other, right? So I study him like he's an Abraham Lincoln. You know, I really listen to what he's saying in his speeches and all things like that. Now, that may be a bias, but I didn't come into this with a bias. I didn't like Donald Trump. I hated him. I thought he was a Russian spy. Mm-hmm. Because my sister's a liberal, so she really told me all this shit. So yeah. I actually went and like, okay, let me find out what's going on here. You know, and I just, he's really the last hope. Like, what else do we have at this point? That, you know what I mean? Like, that's where I'm at. Like, if he is what you say you are, we are completely and utterly fucked.
See, I disagree on that point. You know, I don't think that we're screwed. I think that is what we're always told. Like, the people that are telling me on the other side is, if I don't vote for Biden, we're screwed. If we don't vote for Trump, we're screwed. It's not. It's us, the people.
No,
we are in control.
What else do we have?
We need to stop playing the game. So the point is that we're continuously playing this game of like, hey, this hero, come save me. But then when we go and say, hey, this guy's going to save us, but then we go in return and say, oh, he's only one man. But then you look through the cabinet, the people that he brought up.
Yeah,
but I'm saying like how you're saying, but that I'm saying the generalizing of the statement of that, that's what the idea is, right? No one person can save any of us.
Of course not.
God's the only one that's got us.
Absolutely.
Like that. And to me, I believe in God, so I don't really care. Like, now I do care, but I think that like I don't worry as much, right? I think that we'll be all right.
Absolutely.
Either way.
You don't think God has his hands in this movie?
Let him, we have to let him rebuttal on the question on censorship on Trump.
Oh, yeah,
bring that back. Rebuttal on that.
Okay.
And the whole point of him and the censorship, I think it's intentional, because look how in 2020 they were like, the media, the left media predominantly was like, we're not going to show Trump because, you know, blah, 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 blah. Now they're showing him again a lot. So they learned their lesson in 2016. They're like, hey, you know, in 2020, we're not going to show him, giving this free publicity when he says wild stuff. But now they're doing the same thing. They even bring back the old tricks, right? And the good people on both sides. Now the bloodbath. So what they're doing is they're intentionally getting people to want to vote for Trump. To me, it's obvious. I've been saying since like 2020 that Trump is going to be the next president. I've been knowing this. So that's what I'm saying. So it's intentionally planned. Like when people say, oh, the economy was great under Trump. Well, if Trump had won, this would have, same thing would have happened, because the debt ceiling was raised like every president does.
Because
you know, it has to take, because when the economy goes down, it doesn't just happen like, oh,
no,
the president leaves, it changes. So like it contributes, and every president, this is a thing that we've seen throughout patterns. The last guy blames the new guy blames the last guy. We see it at work, right? The guy that left, like, oh, must have been the guy that used to work here. He must have messed everything up. That's just part of life and how humans are.
Mm-hmm.
I think that like when you really dig into it, the media is helping him. That's how he won 2016, is by him having this negative condensation and saying wild stuff that got people like, yeah, man, they're after him. Maybe they'll be after us. And they're playing the same game, in my opinion. You could see it. And now I said, hey, when they raid his house, he's going to go up in the polls. Hey, when they put him on trial, he's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
I know, but what the point is that it's intentional. Why would they continuously do it? And I get it that there's dumb people, but I don't think there's that many dumb people in the media, in the government, that's like, hey, let's continuously say dumb things that get a Trump more traction if they didn't want him. They want him. They need a boogeyman. They need a hero on one side and a boogeyman on the other side.
side. That's how you continue the polarization of the working class, because then we can't talk amongst each other. Because if you've seen it, right? And I'm not saying, and I will give one a big credence to MAGA people. They're the only ones that have more that will step up to have discussions like this with me. A lot of liberal people do not step into this arena to be challenged on their ideas, because I challenge their ideas just as much as I challenge anybody's. So I do give a lot of credit to that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just think that we're blinded sometimes because we want to get away from that beast that's been on our back forever.
Mm-hmm. I want to agree with you on a lot of what you said, actually, because I, too, see the two-party system for what it is. Do you know what I mean? I, too, view politics the way you do, right? But my point is that, okay, let's say that Donald Trump didn't exist, right? And we had Biden and fucking whoever the fuck, right? And we were just diddling. Okay, you know what? Actually, let's say this. Let's say Hillary Clinton won in 2016, right? We would be in a completely different timeline. We would have gotten a slow drip of everything we are seeing now. And you're saying that, you know, one president, you know, they just do the same thing and they blame each other. But it is policy. Biden purposely opened that border. You know what I mean? They purposely are spending more money than we are making. Do you know what I mean? So this is a purposely looting the treasury. You know, it's the Clowder and Pivens strategy, right? It's how you bring down a capitalist system to implement a new one, right? And I think the only person standing in that breach, right, that breach of complete takeover, totalitarianism, right? And you got to think about what is Donald Trump really champion, right? Law and order, the Constitution, freedom of speech, the Second Amendment. He had many opportunities to take our Second Amendment away, right? He was standing on the brink of that a lot. And I think if it wasn't for our Second Amendment, we would be a lot different country. If it was Hillary Clinton won, we wouldn't have a Second Amendment. So I just look at it. I do look at it from the way you do, too, a lot of ways. And I do see what you're saying, how the media manipulates and plays. But also, if you read these people's body language, they have actual hate for this man in their heart. They have actual fear of this movement. You know what I mean?
Well, I think that they do have fear of him, but like that's not all some of the people talking crap, like a Maddow or someone. I'm not saying she's read in. Like she just is like, I hate him. Right. Like they're part of the plan of how they start like manipulating people. But we can go through the connections, right? You said like, yeah, you know, he's not really connected to Epstein. I mean, there's an argument for that, but he is really good friends, or was until like I think like mid of when he was presidency, and one of his mentors, guy he looked up to, Hugh Hefner, one of the original Epsteins. The dude was doing sex trafficking. The dude had like all kinds of weird relationships. He had videotapes of people and blackmailing people in the Playboy mansions, in his Playboy clubs. I mean, he even went as far as having a coffin full of videos that was dumped into the ocean of things that were being filmed. So to me, it's like, hey, how long are we going to be like, you're in that crowd with all these people, but you're the good guy. You know, I'm not saying it can't be possible.
This is
just hard
for me.
To understand that.
If he was any deeper than we perceived, we would have known about it already. You know what I mean? It would have came out in the Hugh Hefner tapes or the Epstein flight.
But would it if they want to lead? Because that's my point, is they want us to be polarized. You see what I'm saying? I mean, that's my argument, is because it continues to make a polarization of the people.
I mean, yeah, I mean, we're at the point now with whatever you want to be true, right, at this point. It's really just perspective.
Well, I'm saying, but we know that for a fact that he was really good friends and really close with Hugh Hefner.
Sure,
he was even on the Playboy cover.
You know
but
I mean?
I'm saying, like, so like, but I'm, if somebody's, like, if it was one-off, right, that's what I'm saying. If it's just one-off, it was just Epstein. I can give it, I can concede. I could be like, hey, you know, possibly.
But
when there's
a
pattern.
Do you really know about the whole Epstein stuff, though? Like, about how he actually got him arrested
allegedly.
The first time?
Well, allegedly.
No, it's the
allegedly.
Lawyer of Julian Gospel is the one who said that. So
sure. I know that part about it. But what I'm saying is, too, is like, when you want to create a character, you do these things.
I mean,
right? Like, he's been leaked.
You know?
Think about it. He's a businessman, and then he's on TV. He's been in movies. He's been dangled. And so if you think of it at the occult angle, they've been dangling him in front of us for a long time. His kids went to Jesuit schools. I mean, he put Wilbur Ross in his cabinet. Wilbur Ross was the CEO for the Rothschilds in the 80s, and they helped bail out his Atlantic City hotel. Like, I'm not saying that he can't be. Sure, he could flip, and I hope. And I'm not telling people not to vote for him either.
You know what I mean? Like I know all the things you're talking about. I know exactly what you're saying, and I'm aware of those connections. But for me, it's what is the man doing today, right now? Not about what he was doing back then, who he was rubbing elbows with. Is he this? Is he that? What has he done since he's been in the political atmosphere? The only thing I see is him pushing back against the complete takeover of the globalist empire. That's what Donald Trump, he stood on the UN floor and told every single world leader to their face, it's America first. The sovereignty of our country is not for sale. Globalism will die. So now if we want to talk about all of those other, that's personality, right? I want to, the policy of this man is literally our only hope to move any kind of forward from the Biden administration. So I know, like, you're looking at it as like a 60,000 foot view, and I get it. And at that view, you could pick and prod and move things around and make it, you know what I mean? You can do all that.
Sure.
But really, where does that get us? You know what I'm saying? At this point, the power, and Donald Trump always says, the power of the people, the power of the people. This is why he says certain things, because he wants public opinion on his side before he makes unilateral decisions.
Sure.
Right? So I think for him to do that, right, he has had many opportunities to stab MAGA in the back, to stab people in the back, right? And now even with January 6th, he couldn't just bail all those guys out right out the door. That would have looked crazy, right? We needed more information to come out about January 6th. We needed more of the video, more of the truth about how the FBI actually set it all up. None of that would have came out if he would have just gotten out of jail on his way out, right? So even though it's hard, right, there's casualties and war. And that's the thing that people are like, oh, why didn't he do this? Why didn't he seize the voting machines? Why did he come out with the vaccine? Listen, again, what this man was dealing with in the moment, right, also trying to win re-election, also trying to do all of these outside things. And it's so easy for people to sit outside and prick and prod, but it's like, honestly, it's just, what else are we going to do?
Right? Yep. Okay.
So, I don't, you know what I mean?
All right. Now, allow me to inject here, guys. For the people that are watching this show, or watching this debate, please make sure you drop a comment or a question towards the end of the show. We're going to have a little revealing all the questions. We're going to have these, both of these guys answer that. Yeah, we got a couple good ones. And we have one of these guys talking. Everybody's giving, you know, sides and saying yes. And I love the engagement with everybody else. We let these guys speak for at least 30 seconds. And I'm going to have a real powerful question for both of you. And we're going to lead with Sean. I think it's your turn to start this question again. So just for you guys to get a little breather and rebuttal in your brains, get your thoughts in a row. Put your emotions in a row. And I want to thank the God. I want to thank the Lord for allowing us to be here again, guys. I want to thank you both for doing this. This is fucking amazing. And I'm glad to be a part of it. And I'm sure that every single person that's watching and actually engaging now and sharing, and the people that are going to listen to this in the future are also thankful, because what they said here right now in the comments really hit me. You guys are proving that you guys can have a real conversation. And even though you guys are not fighting each other, you guys are disagreeing, but you guys are also agreeing in many different levels.
Absolutely.
This is huge. It's amazing, guys, because we never had this before. This is the type of conversation you cannot have with a liberal, because once they start getting scared and their thoughts start to scatter, they start to run away. And this is fact. And they start to run away and they are cowards. Now that you guys are all focused in, right, again, Sean, I have a question for you, dude.
What's
hope?
Up?
We're talking about a lot of, about what makes him different. And why he's getting pushed away. Hope. What is your message for hope? What do you think hope will bring, if not Donald Trump, as an independent?
Mm-hmm. Hope is us, like, we need to lean off of the presidential election, first off and foremost. I've always called it the American Idol, right? Everybody does that. Everybody wants to vote in that election, but they don't know who their mayor is. They don't know who their city council is. They don't know anything in their own area. They don't even know their neighbor's name. So go first, if you want to really have hope, it's get out there, talk to your neighbors, go figure out what's going on in your own community. Take everything back to us. Like, and it won't be over time, and maybe we'll have to suffer, but the point is, if I have to fall on the knife for the next generation to have a better life, I'm cool with that. You know what I'm saying? But we can get there. So having conversations like this, excuse me, not just about that we're not going at each other, but what happens a lot of times is people get smug, you know, like, oh, like, I know more. None of us know more than any of us, right? All of us are really just like coming up and formulating the way we see the world. So I can't be like, oh, Flash, you're completely wrong, because it's not. Like, I also agree with a lot of the things that you say, because it makes points. And I understand the appeal of Donald Trump, right? Like, it's somebody that he came at the right moment when everybody was sick and tired of politics. It was after a lot of people got bamboozled by Obama, and this guy came and started saying some stuff that people wanted to hear, and people wanted to hear someone talking crap to Nancy Pelosi and Mitch McConnell. But if you, to me, that's my argument, is more of the policies. And when I look at what he did when he was more for infrastructure, which, you know, tendencies of conservatives that we don't want to push government infrastructure because that puts bigger government and things like that. And to say that he's battling the globalists, to me, is, doesn't seem that way, because we all talk about 15-minute cities, right? And I'm actually doing a show, like I said, coming out next week. It's about, it's called Smart Fires, right? It's about these fires in the smart cities. Mm-hmm. Well, Trump has been praising these freedom cities, which if you go and read between the lines, they're the same things that these 15-minute cities, but rebranded, a different name. So that's my argument, is that we're constantly getting trapped in these things because they use our emotions against us. They knew we were tired of what's going on with the politicians. And I'm not saying he can't go, like, there's four ways I think of Trump: either controlled opposition, useful idiot, new mob management. You know what I mean? Like a new faction that's coming into it. Because when you look down the list of everything that's connected to him, like, I'm just only throwing a couple people out there. Like I said, all his kids went to Jesuit schools. You know what I'm saying? His connection with Israel is, like, for a fact, when he gets into office, for a fact, that is when World War III, for me. Okay, well, let's not say fact. That's just my opinion. But I think that when he gets into office, that's how it will be World War III. You know, because he is going to have to back Israel. Like, you saw, like, so all those people that were going, yeah, about the vax and that were on MAGA, they all, not all, but a large percentage of them were like, yeah, well, Israel needs to defend themselves. And you started seeing this parroting echo chamber syndrome of where, like, well, Israel needs to defend itself. Like, you know, a Hamas terrorist group. And you hear these buzzwords, and that's where I see the problematic stuff of this. So to go back is, like, freedom cities are 15-minute cities. So how is he differ from the globalists? That's why it's difficult for me to see that.
Flash,
he completely abandoned the Freedom City thing. He made like two videos about it, been completely abandoned. I think he gets really bad advice. You know, I think he has the wrong people around him a lot of the times. And I think for him is that he didn't really know who to trust when he first got into all of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For me, it's the hope, if that's the theme here, the hope isn't so much Donald Trump, right? It's really the spark of patriotism that he's ignited in this country that was really lacking since like 9/11, really. You know what I mean? That was like the last patriotic day for me that I really felt this country, you know. And it's not, you know, yeah, we have to come together and all that, but we also have to get the rot out, right? And part of that is exposure, right? A lot of this shit was so hidden for so long, where people just got along to get along. They knew the corruption was real, but it didn't affect them every day. Right. And I think a lot of the shit that we see has been going on for a really long time. It's just now coming to the surface. Right. So whether Trump is for good or for bad, I think it's more important that he was the carrot. Right. He is the one that brought all of this to the surface. And if he woke people up, he didn't. What he did is got people paying attention. Right. And then you woke up on your own or you didn't. You picked a side. And, you know, and what Sean's saying is 100% correct about the whole system that we're in. And, you know, why didn't he start his own political party? And I agree with that. I really do. But I think from the second best thing would have been to do would have been to get into the RNC, fire everybody, and then start asking people if they believed the election was stolen in 2020 in order to get a job as a litmus test. Because that's it right off the bat. If you really think Joe Biden got 81 million votes, obviously we can't help you, right? And I know that, unfortunately, we have to work with inside the matrix that we're in, right? I wish we could just completely detach and just start a new system and a whole new program, right? So I think for me, it's more, I have hope of the patriotism that has been ignited, right? Wherever this leads us, if it leads us to a fucking world war, you know what I mean? I think Trump is a deal maker. I think that's probably, no one can take that away from him, right? Probably one of the greatest deal makers, one of the greatest negotiators. And he proved that during his presidency with the Abraham Accords and his connection to Israel. I think in a lot of ways, he's connected to the Israel people because he has Jewish people in his family. But he's very, very against Bibi Netanyahu. When he killed Soleimani, right? Let's not forget Donald Trump killed a lot of fucking terrorists. Okay, when he killed Soleimani, he was giving a speech and he put Bibi on blast. He said, right when we were about to kill Soleimani, Bibi and Israel pulled out, Mossad pulled out. Now, we all know why Mossad would pull out, because they're involved with creating ISIS and creating all of these people, right? So I think, you know, and Trump is in order to win elections or in order to even become popular, you have to take moderate stances sometimes, right? He's not going to go out and go to bat for everything we believe in every time and make every single right decision perfectly right, right? But I'm just looking at it as, what other option do we have at this point right now? We cannot afford another Biden administration or another deep state administration. Whether Trump is in a different cabal or not, I'll take that cabal over this one any day.
But then it still gets us in that, like, you know, lesser of evils, you know, like, I got to, and I think we just don't break the system and cycle. And again, I don't like go after people like, oh, you voted for Trump. You're like, I'm not telling people that they're idiots or not to vote. Right.
No,
I'm just
yeah,
giving really. Information that I found, like, sure. just so people know, like, I just see it because I see sometimes people like, oh, you got Trump derangement syndrome. No, I'm holding politicians accountable. Like, just like I held Obama accountable. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I see the same. I used to call Trump the red Obama because I see a lot of the same. And I don't mean in policies. I mean about how the base doesn't hold him accountable. You see how, like, you're like, man, we has to do this. If I was speaking like how you were saying about Trump, how he has to do this and in secrets, if that was like a relationship, then people would be like, man, that's an abusive relationship, man. He's like, yeah, you know, hey babe, I had to do this, you know, I had to tell you that I wasn't out and not where I was going, and it's not that I was trying to cheat on you, but I had to do this so it could look like that I was, like, you know,
but
what I'm saying? So this manipulation,
who are we to say what that man's going through?
No, but we are someone to say, because we're, he's standing, he's supposed to stand up for us. So why not just go out there? If it was me, I would just go out there and say what I got to say. Like, are they going
to
smear me?
I mean, you know.
But he switches it up. Like, again, like, you know, just all these comments. Like, now, the bloodbath stuff, of course, that's a phony stuff. Like, there's a lot of times I'm defending Trump, right? Like, the what's it called? Good people on both sides. We know these tactics, but those tactics are intentional to continue the polarization. To me, what I see is, like, look, now, like, it's been more ingrained. If you didn't bring Trump into this, if you brought Hillary, that would have united the people, in my opinion, because people hate her on all angles, right? You bring someone like Hillary into the fold, now everybody's like changing their mind and like, hey, maybe we should get together. This horrible government, we hate it all. They could not.
That's
they needed another.
Right,
character. So they needed another character that would gravitate another side, because CIA 101 is when they go into a country and do regime change, they go in and start talking crap about the original political party. They start another political party, make them go to war, and they go into a civil war with each other. And then the United States comes in and says, we're gonna intervene and we're gonna place a leader here. It's kind of the same thing. So they're polarizing us to a level that we haven't been in for a long time. Like, people literally hate each other for thinking blue or red. And me personally, I'm out. Like, I don't vote red or blue. I never have, never will. I did vote red once. That was for Ron Paul when he ran on the GOP ticket. That's the only person I've ever voted for that was a red or blue.
Mm-hmm.
I want to believe in Donald Trump. I would love it, but, like, evidence out there, Larry Fink appointed to the Fed, the chair of the Fed, you know what I'm saying? BlackRock guy. You got, what's his name? When they, instead
them,
of giving money to the WHO, but he gave money to Gavi and the Gates Foundation. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can see all these policies. So it's always this sleight of hand trick. Like, look, I'm helping you. Why is he always, like, jumping around now? And some of it, in his defense, like, I've seen people go after him about, like, the abortion issue. I agree with him on that, where we have to find a middle ground, right? We can't continuously having all or nothing, right? It has to be.
Or
it can't be like, hey, never abortion. It can't be like, kill them when they're like one. You know what I'm saying? There has to be a cutoff line. I agree with him. Does he bring up good points? But all politicians, to me, bring up good points. My whole thing is that we should be able to hold accountable. But I understand the defense of MAGA, the reason why is because there's this constant conflict and going at each other that they have no choice but to be like, oh yeah, they're shitty, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I hate the liberals, I hate the conservatives, like, instead of coming together. And there's not a lot of those moments, and I get it that this is a game, but I'm like, the game's over. Like, to me, they're still continuously playing a game. Manipulation's manipulation. And I don't see throughout history the people in his cabinet. And I could go down, like, Eric Prince. Eric Prince is close to him. Blackwater, like, you know what I'm saying? Blackwater, where they were having the mercenaries for hire in Afghanistan. Like, there's tons of stuff that he's been there for.
I've held him accountable on that. I've always pushed back on the people that he surrounded himself with, the people that he put in his cabinet. I think a lot of it was he didn't know who the fuck was who a lot of the times. You know what I mean? And especially in Washington. You know, so I think that he got played. You know what I mean? I think he's naive sometimes too. You know what I mean? And he's a little bit of an egomaniac, so he lets that get in the way too. So I think, you know, things that we can chalk up to, you know, evilness or whatever, I think could also be chalked up to just naivete or just being an idiot in the moment or getting hyped up or getting in his feelings. You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, listen, this guy's just a man, right? Whether he's for good or whether he's for evil. All I know is the movement that he started is for good. I need and for good. The people I know are for good. The people I know want to come together. We're anti-war. You know, we have a lot in common with libertarians. We have a lot in common with the real Democrats that are actually Democrats. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I know that this rhetoric is dividing us and everything like that. But sometimes you have to split up in order to come back together, because we got to really find a common ground with truth. Like, we don't even have the same facts, you know what I mean, as the other side of the political aisle. You know, and a lot of people just see the world for how they want to see it. They want their inherent bias to be, you know, accepted. And I suffer from that, too, in a lot of ways. And, you know, and I accept Donald Trump for his fault, and I defend him like that. But he does make mistakes. You know what I mean? I would never say that he doesn't. I'd never say that he made every perfect move ever.
Wow.
You know, but I'm just thinking, if we're playing inside this matrix, right, that we almost really don't have a choice, because we don't have enough people to say, nobody vote, let's start a strike, let's shut it all down, let's take over the Federal Reserve. You know what I mean? Because we live in a system where a lot of people are just happy in their little countryside in the middle of America.
Word.
You know, we don't have a common hate, really, because we're so divided within our states, right? So it would be almost impossible, I feel like, to do it in a way other than a political movement. You know what I mean? Just to, if we want to get to where we want to go as quickly as we want to get there, I don't see any other way than trying to work with inside the corrupt system, trying to change it as much as possible, like how he changed the RNC, like how he's doing. You know what I mean? These little things may not seem significant, but in the grand scheme of it, who else has been doing any of this shit? Who else has been talking about voter fraud, about the mail-in voting, about all of these things that the deep state
but
and the left does?
Democrat voter fraud. Only Democrat.
Oh,
like,
no,
it's constant. But I'm saying, like, I know. But for the majority of the time when you're hearing these things, the complaints are, like, oh, the Democrats, the Democrats. Like, I hear it all
the
constantly.
It's the establishment.
Like, they use deep state establishment, but they're rarely even call out the GOP. They rarely call out anybody that's on their team. So, like, it keeps us to this team mentality.
Yeah, no,
like, and again, like, people can have, like you know, I'm sure he could. Is there a possibility? Am I saying for sure that he's an evil guy? No, I'm just saying the evidence to me points this way. I would love for it to be like, hey, he's a great guy, he changes everything. I'm not gonna be mad, you know what I mean? I'm
right.
not gonna be like, damn it, like, you know what I mean? I'll be happy. I don't want to be wrong.
There's a balance here though, right? There's evidence to suggest that he's not, and there's a lot of evidence to suggest that he is for good. Right?
There you
go. I don't see any of good.
Balance.
Like, I just told you the movement that he started, the movement that he started dragged me out of
the matrix, right?
Fellas, we're running fast.
Oh,
and we're dropping bombs of knowledge.
Crazy,
there's people
bro.
Here dropping comments saying you guys both have great comments. Some people are saying, yo, Sean, you got them. Then some other people are like, yo, you have a great point. A freaking flash. It's an amazing experience to be here, guys. And
this is the thing, though, what Sean is saying, I don't disagree with, right? Like, it's not something you can really, like, because I am a truther. I do see things for the way they are, right? For the problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
The making us duel, the Civil War, all of this shit, right? I just look at it as, in order to really fix anything, you got to work from within inside of it, right? And right now, Donald Trump is our best shot against the agenda of the far left. That's
how. Let's take some questions from the audience. We have a question from the Free Human Being Project. He's been really active on the comment section. And he hasn't shown any bias, and he's the only one that dropped a question on that little question mark. And I've seen other questions popped up, but I couldn't keep up with them.
I see one about crypto. It's a good one.
Yeah, right? Yeah, the crypto. We're going to come back to that one, too.
That's a good question.
So we're going to hit. What are your thoughts on the 15 days to slow down the spread and Operation Warp Speed? And we're going to start that one with Flash.
So Operation Warp Speed, to me, was really the last line of defense for the complete takeover of the Great Reset. I mean, really, that was the plan. The plan was to keep us locked down until we created a vaccine, right? Mm-hmm. So it was 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, whatever it was. You know, and this is where the FEMA camps came in. And I really think that if he didn't rush that vaccine out, they would have made that vaccine no matter what. And then it would have been FDA approved. It would have been mandated for everyone. And if you didn't take it, then we all know what they really wanted to do. You know, so I really feel like, I mean, and also it was just an impossible situation, impossible position. Right. What else was the man supposed to do? You know, he was taking really bad advice from really bad people, unfortunately. But I think Operation Warp Speed really stopped the Great Reset. It's really just a short and sweet of it.
Yo, Sean, rebuttal.
I mean, I just see it as like pushing on authoritarianism and then him getting a free pass because people did die from it. People are still dying from it. There's still like a lot of backlog of it, and it's just kind of like, well, you know, he had a lie to you, you know, he didn't mean to. It's like, we have to have empathy for these people that are being propagandized. We've been propagandized since we've been born, and then people are just sacrificial lambs, you know, like, how come he's not accountable for that is my question to me.
What could he have done? He could have for that.
No, no, for sure. Like, I'm not saying you, I'm just saying generalization. So he has to be able to be really held accountable for that moment, and he will not ever. And I get it, like, he's a narcissistic, like, not saying he's a narcissist, but he has like tendencies, like, are heavy. He's an egomaniac at times, right? So he's never going to admit that, right? He's never going to admit he's wrong. And then to say, like, he's been around you know, bad people, and he gets bad advice, and I'm like, well, how, what's to say he's not going to do that more? And probably then they talk about run. You know, Biden's age, you know, Trump's up there, and like right now he's good, right? I'm not saying that I don't think he's for sure, compared to Biden, it's easy, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
Like,
I mean, go
get, look at Ron Paul. Ron Paul's in his 90s, man. He could, like, outdo Joe Biden. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. But what I'm saying is, mental decline, though, can hit you whenever.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm just saying, we got to, like... I just want to end the polarization. And to me, Trump was a key figure in doing the warp speed. It gave him this like little loophole where he's able to say like, hey, man, he gets to play both sides of the fence in that moment. He's like, I had to do this. And he doesn't really say it. People say it for him. He's not saying this. It's people that are like, he had to do this because, you know, more people would have died. But we don't know. It's the same thing about masking, right? Like, yeah, in theory, you could tell me that like more people would have died if people didn't mask, but there's no evidence to prove that. And it's the same thing with that. Like, if he would have just said, hey, man, that we can't make a vaccine and this been a time, like, I'm not one of the people that subscribes that, oh, it was something that's meant to kill a lot of people. I think it was opportunist time for pharmaceutical companies to jump on board. And then you got people like, you know, that he's appointing to the FDA and appointing to these offices. So it's like, why wouldn't he do that again? If he's already, and he can't admit his wrongs, but he's going to do it again. And then who's going to hold him accountable? We're just going to be like, he's one man. I've heard that my whole life. You know what I'm saying? It's not, and a lot of people take that. I'm not taking my frustration on Trump. My thing is the whole system, because I've seen it with Trump.
Sure, yeah.
I've seen it with Obama. I've seen it with Bush. Mm-hmm. I've seen it with Clinton. You know, you go down the line, you've seen all these people that were going to fix this, and life has got worse. Every 4 years,
absolutely.
We've had the Democrats have had the White House, the Senate, and the House, you know what I mean, representatives. The Republicans have had that. You know, they've had it mixed. We've had all these different times. And then to me, it's just... it's, I mean, broken, the way we're using it, like, because the way that they have it is that everybody says they're going to get in there and they're going to change it. I've seen plenty of politicians throughout my lifetime. Hey, I got to work the system this way. And, you know, Einstein said in repeating this, you know, repeating the same thing over and over, expecting a different result is the definition of insanity. And that's what we're doing.
Yeah, right. No, absolutely. But I think that we have to give Donald Trump credit for actually changing the way politics are done in this country altogether. By just exposing how the intelligence community works with the media to go after a non-establishment candidate. Now we see it with RFK. So I think in order to get to where we want to go, it has to be exposed. More than 70% of this country were completely asleep to all of the games that the media runs, that the left, the right, that all of this that they run. You know what I mean? So I just don't know how we get to the where we want to go without fully exposing it first. And Donald Trump is a perfect person to do that. You know, he's necessary. He's not perfect. No. He's necessary.
We have two more questions. So let's try to rush this one up, guys. We have a question. So Joy just sent a question. Joy, I haven't forgotten about you. That's a solid question. But before that, I want to hit the crypto one. What are your thoughts on crypto? Sean, Chris, please follow up.
Well, I mean, it's inevitable, man. To me, it's inevitable. There's not much we could do. Like, I think the central bank has talked about in the next 12 months, they're going to be rolling out a digital currency. That's why I personally don't know too much about crypto. I don't mess with it because I have this fear that one day, not necessarily a fear, but I don't want to put all this money into a coin. And then they're like, nope, here's the Fed coin. And I mean, we know that the Fed now is like basically what is going to be a cryptocurrency. It's right now a way to pay methods through the Fed. And that's just a slow leak. And honestly, we've already kind of there. Really, they got us there. How many people really have cash on them? Mostly only older school people. Like anybody that's like 35 and younger rarely has like cash on them, unless they were an older old soul. You know what I mean?
Right. And I think when I think of crypto, I think you'll own nothing and be happy.
Ha.
Turn that shit off in a blink of an eye. What happens if we get hit with an EMP? What happens to your little coin wallet?
Mm-hmm.
And your little coin?
Oh, it's gone.
Gone. right? Yeah. And they can manipulate. And then Snowden, I think, said, wait till people find out who's really behind Bitcoin. Snowden said that. And so, and he said that there's been a nation state buying up a lot of Bitcoin, right? So now, I don't know, is the NSA behind crypto? You know, there's all these little things. And again, I don't know enough about it to tell people not to buy it or to buy it. But if you want my suggestion, go with gold. I mean, gold, silver, that's, I think that way over crypto. Mm. That's just my opinion, though. But yeah, I don't trust it, man. I really don't.
A question for Joey. Question from Joey 8322. Check this out. He said, question. How would you answer the fact that our country, this is, again, it goes back to the hope and encompasses that idea, right? He goes, how would you answer the fact that our country is trying to break us down, lying us, and literally trying to kill us? How do we fight back? Sean.
Oh, first of all, shouts out to Joey, man. He's a good dude, man. I always chop it up with him. He always give me good inspirational stuff, man. He's a really good dude. I think it's just by, like I was saying, connecting with our neighbors, connecting with people, being understanding and empathetic to people that are propagandized. When people are wearing masks, I never have told someone they're a sheep. I don't tell people they're wrong or like they're idiots because I understand that there's manipulation going on all fronts. So just show some compassion, build our own, and take care of each other and show people we don't need the government. We need each other, man. The government is just trying to get us sucked on. Like I try to just go onto unemployment, which didn't work. I just got a new job because unemployment is terrible. You can't even get on to all that stuff, right? So it's just reminding that we don't need government because they will not help you until you're desperate and you have no other option, and then you have to be hooked and strangled onto them. So let's help each other, man. If you can, you know, give that guy $20 on the street. And I get it. Some of them are drug addicts, but, you know, just put your perspective differently. Like, put it onto a perspective of, like, yeah, that guy's in the streets. Maybe he's going to get drugs, but he has to sleep in the streets. Maybe that is what's going to get him through another night. Or maybe just having a conversation. One time, I was on my way to work, and at this time, I had no car. I was riding a bike to work. I went to the liquor store. I got myself some cigarettes and some snacks for, like, lunch and everything. I walk out. There's this homeless dude. I'm like, hey, what's up, man? Like, da-da-da-da-da. And I'll go, hey, man, like, here's $5, man. Like, he didn't ask me for nothing. We talked for a good, I don't know, 10 minutes, but I was like, hey, man, I got to go, bro. Like, I got to go work. And then he's like, all right, cool. And now he's like, hey, man, I don't need this. I'm like, no, man, keep it, man. It's $5, man. It ain't shit. I'm good.
Wow.
I'm good. He's like, no, man, what I really needed was what you gave me. He was like, you didn't look at me as lesser than. You talked to me. He was like, I've been waiting for someone to just, like, I have so much I need to say. I have so much I'm going through. And you took the time to listen to me. I think if we do that more and take that approach, it's not easy. Like, there's some days I don't want to do that, right? Like, and when we can't, don't beat ourselves up. Just try again the next day. I think that's the only way we move forward.
What a beautiful testimony. Flash.
I think that being self-sufficient really is freedom, right? You don't need healthcare if you're healthy, right? You don't need these systems if you can take care of yourself. If you can grow your own food, do it, right? And if you can, then truth, right? The truth shall set us free, right? We have to coalesce. We have to come together around the basic truth. And whatever that is, we're still figuring it out as a society, I'm pretty sure. You know, we can't even define what a woman is and all this crazy shit, right? But I think the truth movement is growing, right? It really is growing, the truth movement. And not just, you know, I just see truth is becoming popular, finally. It really is. You know what I mean? So I think that's a really good sign, you know? And unfortunately, we do have to work with inside the system that we've been given, right? And I think in order to break it, though, you got to expose it. And we're so close, man. I really feel like we're at a tipping point in society and we're going to go left or right. But you know what? The lines have never been clearer. And that's really important, I think. I think if you choose, you know, it's really clear now where the lines are. And I think that's most important. Did we just lose Trebs?
Yeah, I think so. He must have just vanished. Instagram was getting too real. They're like, hey, man, they're being too kumbaya over there, man. They want to have a
babysitter 9 o'clock.
Yeah, at the door and stuff. Like, but yeah, I think that's we could wrap it up there if you got. Oh, wait, nope, he's back. Hold on. I think we're good. Then we'll maybe get on the wrap up. It must have just slipped him out. Sometimes it does that. Good old Zuck.
Man, you got getting too close to the truth, bro. What a beautiful way. That was perfect infinity. That was God-given. Yo, everybody, this was an amazing pleasure. Again, I want to thank you guys. I want to give you guys an opportunity to just plug in your tags again, your handles on Instagram. Where can people find you? Again, Sean, where can people find you?
You know, go to killthemockingbirds.com or follow right here, Kill the Mockingbirds podcast. Check out for the new music. April 19th, domestic terrorist. Like, it's gonna be like, we're coming in hot, baby. Like, man, we coming with truth and music too.
Yo, that shit. Yo, we got the rough job. I'ma fucking expose this shit. Fuck it. Yo, blow this shit off the lid. That shit was hard. The beat, he raps on point. I'll tell you, the white boy got flow, bro.
For real.
Flash, where can people find you?
On my Instagram for however long will have me, flashy_news1. And I just wanted to say, fellas, this was awesome. I think we should get together and do other topics. I think this is a good rapport. I think the respect factor was probably the most important thing. And I think that, and I just respect that, you know. And then I think it's important to get out of comfort zones and to push back on my own narratives and your own narrative. All of that stuff is gold, you know what I mean? But I think at the end of the day, the movement is real. You know, this movement is real. I'm a real patriot. I'm a real truther. And that's
me.
Yeah,
for sure.
What gives me hope. That's what gives me hope. Because I know there's a lot of people like me. You know what I mean? And for whatever reason they got involved, if Trump is the reason, then that to me is a good thing. You know, so stay together, stay connected. Let's do this again, fellas.
For the people that are joining and straight up just engaging so hard, we got Joey, shout-outs to the Free Human Being Project, everybody, a beauty bomb for connecting again, and everybody here. You can find me at PerryNoyRadio.com, PerryNoyRadio.com. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Yo, Kill the Mockingbirds, you guys fucking murdered it, Flash. Godspeed.
Yeah, appreciate y'all, man. You know, we had a good time, and you know how we do it here. Wake the fuck up or get woke the fuck up.
Woo! Get on the train and run over. Let's go.
Peace out, y'all.
Peace out, dog.
Raven, give me an update on Sean Chris's reprogramming status.
Phase one was activated a few months ago with initial success. Kill the Mockingbirds podcast went silent for months. Unfortunately, Sean has been rejuvenated with the bird killer spirit. The show is back up and running, and Sean is releasing a new song Friday, the April 19th, called Domestic Terrorist. Phase two needs to be activated to defeat this formidable opponent.
Phase two? Silly little fleshbag giving you trouble, Raven.
Fine, Raven, have it your way. Activate phase two of Sean Chris reprogramming.
Phase two activated.
Switch, softball, slow pitch, poor
bitch. Apartment full of roaches. Who's the father? Paternity test. Live on Maury Povich. Fear and loathing. Roller coasting. Locomotion. It's so atrocious. Building 6 exploded. Eviction notice and debt. AK-47 respect.
You own nothing. Own nothing. Be happy. Mass surveillance nowhere to hide. You own nothing. And be happy. Mass surveillance nowhere to hide. And be happy, mass surveillance nowhere to hide. You own nothing. And be happy, mass surveillance nowhere to hide.
Alphabetic agencies manipulate the human population with propaganda. It's time for the working class to unite, get strapped up and locked and loaded. We ain't giving a fuck about Biden trumping on these bitch ass motherfuckers. It's the state against the people, not me versus you. Locked and loaded. Bye!